presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant. We read through the Gospel of Mark, and we see the Lord Jesus working tirelessly, seldom resting. For as he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And so each chapter in Mark's Gospel is joined to the other by the word "and," to show us the tireless nature of Christ's service. But where there is a busy servant, there is also a busy Satan. For wherever the Savior went, he had to endure the attacks of the evil one. He had to contend with the devil. Often, those who did the devil's work came in the form of criticism and false accusation. Look at chapter 2 of Mark and verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. The Lord Jesus has entered into a certain house in Capernaum. You know the story well. The man that was sick of the palsy was brought to the house. His friends couldn't gain entrance, so they climbed up on the roof and opened up the roof and let the Savior down. Or let the man down before the Savior. Now look at verse 6. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? So there they were, just merely sitting in the house, not interested really in anything that the Lord was doing or saying, but just reasoning in their hearts and saying in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? I'll go down the chapter to verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, that is the house of Levi, and he's sitting there at meat, time of fellowship, time of communion, time of refreshment. And he's sitting there at meat in the house, and many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Criticism. He couldn't leave him alone, even when he was sitting at meat. I had to criticize him because of the company he was keeping. Go down the chapter a bit further, verse 23. And there in verse 23, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn, and the Pharisees, there they are again. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Once more, the critics are there, ever sniping at the Savior. Now we come to this chapter 3. Where is the Lord this time? This time he's in the synagogue. And we're told in verse 2, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And so here we have four locations. The Lord was in the house in Capernaum and the critics were there. The Lord was in the house of Levi sitting at meat and the critics were there. The Lord was walking with his disciples, out for a walk with his disciples, walking through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and the critics were there. He's in the synagogue again, the place of worship, and the critics are there. How wearisome this must have been for the Savior to have these critics sniping at him no matter what he did, no matter where he was, no matter where he went. In a certain house, in the house of Levi, walking through the fields in the synagogue. Each time the critics were there. These individuals did not attend any of the Lord's meetings that they might gain any spiritual good from his ministry. Look at Mark 2 and verse 6. And there were sitting, and there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts. Sitting there, reasoning in their hearts. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Same expression is found in Luke 5 and verse 17. Luke 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, just sitting there. Sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Even though the power of Christ was evident in the meeting, yet those who were merely sitting by did not experience the power of Christ. They were merely sitting by, like those that you read off in Mark 2, sitting by, reasoning in their hearts. Dear child of God, let us never be found in a meeting merely sitting by. Rather, let us go up to the house of the Lord, seeking, desiring, longing to experience the power of Christ in that meeting. For the Pharisees did not experience anything of the power of Christ. They were merely sitting by. They hadn't entered into the meeting, the spirit of the meeting. They were not there to gain any spiritual good from the ministry of Christ. So they missed out. Let us come to the Lord's house with a desire to experience the power of Christ in our lives. But notice what the Savior's critics were watching for. Look at Mark 3. He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him. Why were they watching him? And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. They watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. There was only one question in their hearts. The question wasn't whether he would heal the man. because they knew enough of the Lord Jesus that He was such an individual that where He saw a man in need, He would be naturally drawn to that man and would put forth His power to heal the man. That wasn't the question. The question was, would He heal him on the Sabbath day? And so you can see that really, they were paying the Lord a compliment. Because they knew that Christ was such a loving, compassionate individual that where He saw someone in need, He would be naturally drawn to that person and would heal them. They had no doubt about that. They just wondered, would He do it on the Sabbath day? Dear child of God, this is the Savior we have come to worship this Sabbath day. One who knows our needs. And whether it is the Sabbath day or any other day of the week, He's ready to meet that need. Because that's the type of person He is. That's who Christ is. He's a loving, tender, and compassionate heart. And I want you to notice also that in spite of the critics, in spite of all that they said about Him, He carried on with His work. He just went on with His work. Oh, they were sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, wondering, would He heal the man on the Sabbath day? Well, He did heal him on the Sabbath day, carried on with the work. The scribes and the Pharisees, these hypocrites were not going to stop the Savior carrying on with His work. The Lord had gone into the synagogue that day because He knew there was someone there who needed His healing touch. Dear child of God, maybe we have entered the Lord's house today needing someone to minister to us. I trust that we have all come this morning realizing, recognizing that we need to be ministered to. We need the Lord to minister to us, and that someone is here. For the Lord is here. We've met together in His name, and He's here to minister to us. One is to consider, first of all, the Master and the anonymous man. The Lord Jesus always scatters blessings wherever He goes. As He did for this unnamed, this anonymous man, the stranger. For we're not given His name. Notice the presence of the Master. Look again how this chapter begins. And He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. He entered again into the synagogue. He entered again. He'd been there before. His presence had been known and felt in that synagogue before. Now it was known and felt again. And as He had been there before, He had blessed in the synagogue before. He had brought blessing. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day He entered into the synagogue. There's His previous visit. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And the Lord healed that man in the synagogue. His presence was known and felt in the synagogue, and the man was healed. And blessing was brought to that man and to all who had observed this miracle. Now we read that he entered again into the synagogue. He has come back again to bless. Dear child of God, we rejoice that the Lord Jesus is pleased to come and visit us again and again and again. He was here, I have no doubt, last week when our brother Wilfie preached and people were blessed through our brother's ministry. The Lord was here to bless. Well, look, the Lord's here again. He's here once more to minister to us. That's good news for sinners as well. It's good news for sinners that the Lord comes back again and speaks to the unsaved. It'll be a terrible day when the Lord Jesus does not come back again to speak to sinners. When rather he leaves them in their sin and in their rebellion and never returns to speak to them, never comes back again to invite them to come to him. It's good news for sinners. It's good news for saints that the Lord Jesus has come again today, here to bless us, here to meet our needs, here to minister to us. So you have the presence of the Master, and next you have the person. And the Master, when the Lord entered the synagogue, there was a man there which had a withered hand. Who was this man? We're not told. The only thing we know about him is that he had a withered hand. The only thing we know about him is that he had this affliction. No name. No title, no fame, no position, just a common man. A man with a withered hand. A man whom others may have passed by. A man whom others may have overlooked. A man whom others may not even have taken under their notice. But the Lord did. He's just a common man. And the Lord took note of this man. He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And verse 3 says, and he saith unto the man. The Lord had come into that synagogue, had entered that synagogue to meet with that man with the withered hand, this common individual. And you see, dear Christian, this morning, and dear hearer today, the Lord Jesus is interested in just common people. He's interested in the likes of you and me. He's just ordinary people around him. He had common fishermen as his disciples. He was a shepherd. He spoke about shepherds and farmers. He dealt with lepers and the poor and the halt and the maimed. You notice that? Just ordinary people. For you see, the Lord was drawn to common people. We are told that when he preached, it was the common people that heard him gladly. Common people, ordinary man in the street. Do you see something here? Do you see that the Lord Jesus really is one of us? Do you see that the Lord Jesus is one who's happy to be amongst us? He loves to keep company with the likes of you and me. He's one of us. When he came into this world, he laid aside his robes of glory. And he wrapped his deity in human flesh. He was made in the likeness of man. He's one of us. He's one of us. For he knows the needs, the afflictions, the weakness, the trials, the tears of the common man. And he's ready to help. He identifies with us in all our trials and in all our troubles. He's one of us. Paul said he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The word touch there means to sympathize, to suffer with someone, to suffer with them. And the Lord Jesus, in many ways, was just a common man. Born into the home of a carpenter. When he was born, he was led upon a manger. He grew up in that carpenter's house for 30 years. Began his ministry. Walked amongst the common people. He's one of us. Praise the Lord. Where there is a need amongst common men, Christ is there to help. Then you have the problem in the Master. We are told that this man had a withered hand. A withered hand. Of course, that's something that can be seen. Everyone in the synagogue that day could see this man's withered hand. They could see he had this affliction. But there was something that they couldn't see. There was something that they couldn't see that only the Lord could see. Let's think about it. There's nothing much any of us could do if we also suffered from this affliction. If we had a withered hand, what could we do? That which we could do would be very limited. We don't know anything about this man other than he had this withered hand. He may have been married, he may have had children. He was the breadwinner in the house, but how could he do that? How could he work if he had a withered hand? You think about how that would have affected him mentally. Not been able to care for his family. You see, the people in the synagogue may have seen the withered hand. But what they couldn't see was what that withered hand meant to the man. How it affected him in his heart or in his mind. But the Lord could see that. The Lord knew what was on the man's heart. We can see that from verse 5. And when he had looked round about on them, that is his critics, with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. See, he knows what's in the heart of man. If he knew what was in the hearts of the scribes, he knew what was in the heart of the man with the withered hand. Just as he knows what's in our hearts today. Dear Christian, there are times when sore afflictions come our way. And maybe we have sore afflictions right now that we all know about. We all know about that mother and father who is a wayward child. We know. And we pray for them in our prayer meeting. We know about that husband or that wife that is an unsafe partner. We know that. We're aware of that. And we pray for their salvation. But what we don't know is how it affects that individual. We don't know how heavy that mother's heart is because of her wayward child. We don't know that. We don't know how heavy of a heart that husband or wife has who longs for the salvation of their partner. Or when someone loses a loved one, we can sympathize with them. We know they've lost a loved one. But what we don't know and what we cannot see is how they feel inside. That's hidden from our gaze, but it's not hidden from the gaze of Christ. He knows. And that's the best part. The Lord knows our hearts today. He knew the heart of this man. He knew the affliction this man was suffering. And he could see things that man could not see. What did the Lord say to Samuel? For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance. But the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord sees our hearts today. He knows all about the heaviness of heart. When the heart is broken, He knows that too. The wonderful Savior. Couldn't get better. One who not only knows all about our physical needs, but our spiritual, or even our mental needs, and is able to meet them. So you have the master and the anonymous man. You have the master and the afflicted man. Let's take a closer look at this man and his affliction. We see that it was for this man to have suffered a withered hand would have been for him a great and deep grievous. Now his affliction may not have been as serious as some of the afflictions that others had, the Lord knows. You think of blind Bartimaeus. If we had the choice of affliction, which would we choose? I think we would take the withered hand over blindness. So the man with the withered hand, his affliction wasn't as bad as others. Or perhaps the deaf and the dumb. Or those that suffered from palsy or leprosy or dropsy. Some of these awful diseases. Once again, if we had a choice, we would say, well, if I must have an affliction, well, perhaps having a withered hand is not as bad as these other afflictions. That may be so. But as far as this man in the synagogue was concerned, his withered hand was a great affliction because it was his hand. It was his life that had been affected. It was his home that had been affected. And as far as he was concerned, his affliction was just as great as anybody else's because it was his. Because it was his. I think of Jairus. Jairus had a daughter who was 12 years of age, and when she was 12, she took seriously ill. And Jairus came to the Lord to plead with the Lord on behalf of his daughter. Now, just as Jairus came, the woman came to the Lord at the same time. The woman, we're told, had an affliction for 12 years, had spent all her money in physicians and doctors, but after she had spent all, she was no better. Now, which was worse? Having a daughter lying seriously ill at the point of death. Indeed, she did die. Which was worse, that? Or this woman having suffered for 12 years, the same age as the daughter of Jairus, had suffered for 12 years. She may have said, well, my affliction's not as bad. Your affliction is not as bad as mine. You can live with your disease. I can't live with without my daughter. But as far as the woman was concerned, her affliction was serious. Why? Because it was hers. We see our affliction just as great as others because it's ours. We're the one that's suffering the pain. And the Lord understands that. And the wonderful thing is that the Lord met the need of Jairus and the need of the woman. And so you see, believer, whether our afflictions are great or small in the eyes of others, the Lord's able to meet the need of every one of us, no matter what our affliction is, great or small. But then this affliction that this man had, this withering of his hand, was gradual. The tense of the words tell us that he had a withered hand, and indeed his hand was still withering. It hadn't stopped withering. The degenerative process was continuing. Who knows where it would stop? And that being so, his affliction would continue and worsen. And that was all that this man had to look forward to. He had a withered hand today, and he knew that it would get worse tomorrow and worse still the day after. That's all he had to look forward to. And you know, sometimes our afflictions are like that. We can't see an end to them. We know how we feel today, and we say, well, I'm going to feel like that tomorrow. My heart is heavy today, it'll be heavy tomorrow. I'm lonely today, and I'll be lonely tomorrow. Everything looks bleak today, and it'll just be as bleak tomorrow. For the man with the withered hand, there was no ray of sunshine. That is, until he met the Savior. And the Lord Jesus changed this man's life. Because Christ, you see, is the answer. He met the Master, or rather the Master met him and brought to him. When he went into the synagogue, tomorrow didn't seem very bright at all. But when he came out of the synagogue, he could look forward to a brighter tomorrow. That's what the Lord is able to do. In the Easter Convention in Dr. Paisley's church, for many years on the Monday afternoon meeting. He would always have a dear brother sing. His name was Willie Hemming. Lovely singer. And Willie would come along and he'd have hymns chosen to sing, and he would sing them, and before he could die out of the pulpit, Dr. Paisley always got him to sing a song that he had sang the year before, and the year before, and the year before. It was a song called Raindrops Out of Blue Skies. Whenever I hear that song, I think of Willie Hemming. He can fill cupboards when you're all out of money. He can make corn grow when the sky isn't sunny. The loaves and the fishes, my Lord multiplies, for he can send raindrops out of blue skies. That's what he did for this man. That's what he did for this man. He brightened up the sky, and he gave a brighter future and a brighter tomorrow. He can do the same for you. And finally, you have the Master and his attention. We see that upon entering the synagogue, the Master spoke first of all to the man. For it says there, and he saith unto the man, verse 3. He saith unto the man. Now, no doubt the synagogue was filled with worshippers that day, but the Lord spoke to the man. Here we see his personal attention. The word that the Lord spoke that day was for the man. He didn't delegate that ministry. He came into the synagogue himself. He attended to this man's needs personally. And it had a word for him personally. Have you ever been in a meeting? I'm sure you have. You've been in a meeting and the word has been preached. And as you've sat in the pew and the word has gone forth, you've been saying in your heart, Lord, this is a word for me. The Lord has spoken to you personally. He has given you his personal attention. I was in a meeting the other week, and after service was over, number of people said, Brother, that was a word for me. And that's encouraging. Let's us know I've got the right word. Let's us know the Lord is speaking and dealing with individuals personally. You've been in those kind of meetings.
As far as you're concerned, there's nobody else in the service. That's the word that
good Savior, isn't he? Wonderful Savior. How he attends to our needs personally. Notice his particular attention. This man entered the synagogue with a particular need. He had a withered hand. And the Master entered the synagogue to meet that man, and he did. I want you to notice something. Look at verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. That's how the man's described in verse 1. He's the man which had a withered hand. Look at verse 3. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand. Now look at verse 5. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he saith unto the man. Now he hasn't yet performed the miracle. But in the mind of Christ, he's already healed. Because he no longer addresses him as the man with the withered hand. In the mind of the Lord, the work's already done. The Lord had already planned it all out. The man's deliverance had already come. The man's healing had already taken place. Abraham had to wait 25 years for Isaac. 25 years from that time that the Lord promised him a son. And yet during that 25-year period when the Lord spoke to Abraham, he spoke to Abraham as if Isaac was already born. For you see, in the mind of God, Abraham already had a son. The work was already done. You remember the day in John 6 when the Lord fed the 5,000? And he challenged his disciples, how are we going to feed 5,000? Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not enough. The disciples thought you better send them away. But then we read, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You see, in the mind of Christ, the 5,000 was already fed. The problem had already been solved. And so, believer, when we come to the Lord with our afflictions and our burdens and our needs, in the mind of God, they're already taken care of. The needs have already been met. And then you'll notice it was a powerful. The attention the Lord gave to this man was quite remarkable and powerful. For we read in that verse 5, and he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Quite powerful. He was restored, the hand was restored just like the other. He was made whole. He was made complete. The Lord does all things well. The Lord does all things well today also. And he's here today.
He meets our needs. He has spoken to us by trust. He's ministered to us. Surely that would cause us to look forward to a greater. He's a wonderful Savior. Do you know him today?